as long as I live lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I would praise you with songs of joy. So let's do that today. Lord, we just come to you with joy in our hearts, knowing that you are good, that you deserve all of our worship, and we just give you our attention this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you're able and you want to stand with us, we appreciate it. We're excited to worship with you today.
Thank you. Amen.
I'm glad you're here. We're going to continue in our worship with our giving today, our tithe and our offering. So if you have something to give, there's envelopes and chairs in front of you. If you don't see one there, but wave your hand around, the ushers will help you out. And also, they have prayer cards too. We are a pray first church. So if you have a prayer request, just ask for one of those, fill it out, get it back to them or to me, and we'll be praying over them at our Monday night. We have prayer every Monday night. If you didn't know that, it's 7 o'clock. If you've never been to one, come on out tomorrow night. And they spend time in personal prayer, but then corporately they gather together and pray over different things. So we believe that prayer is the first thing. It's our first reaction to everything. It is simply how we live our life. And in other words, we are committing things to God. We're getting Him involved instead of trying to live on our own with Him. Amen?
Amen.
So prayer tomorrow night. But anyway, that was a commercial. But you're giving, we appreciate it. Now, remember, when church is over today, we're going to break just for a couple minutes, and then we have sort of a vision casting meeting. Take just maybe 30 minutes, okay? It won't take long. I just want to tell you some things financially that are coming up. I want to tell you a little about more things that we want to be focused on through the rest of this year into 2025. So if this is your family in faith, I encourage you to stay and hear about some of those things, and I hope your heart's encouraged by it, and we're unified as we go forward. But saying that, then, as we talk about our finances in that meeting, I'll just update you on some things. You guys are very faithful and dedicated to this house, and I just want to tell you I appreciate it. And that you can trust us with your tithe and your offering, that we are good stewards. And what we do is we just always pray for God's direction in everything that we do, including what we do and how we spend our money. And if you don't know me, I'm a stickler down to the last penny. I'm kind of screwed you with the money, just so you know. That's a good thing. And we're not frivolous with how we spend money, but we believe money comes in is for it, for working and the partnering with the advancement of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
As we chase after the things we believe God has called us to as a church. So every time you give, just know that we are in prayer about the best way to use the finances that come into the house. Okay? Let me pray over it. If you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets. Lord, we thank you for the increase of our lives, that you are always our provider. You're always in front of us making a way. And I thank you, Lord, for that. As we give today, it's an honoring of you in that. And Lord, it's a trusting of you that you will always be our provider, that you are faithful. We thank you for your faithfulness. And there's so many testimonies and stories that we have of when you have made a way for us. And Lord, we just pray that we are living in this, that we are sowers with the seed that you provide, and you always provide more seed to the sower, and we believe that. We stand in that word. So if we give today, we're honoring you with our giving word. In Jesus' name we all say,
amen,
amen, amen.
All right, come on up. All right, so while everybody's coming up to get their offering, I just, well, good morning first.
Hi, everybody.
I wanted to take just a couple minutes. If you have not filled out one of these, if you're a guest, if you're new, we have these cards in the seat pocket in front of you. We would really, really love it if you would fill this out. A couple of reasons. We promise we won't spam you with all the things, but we do want to have a way to get in touch with you, and also, I know Kylan prays over these cards, so if we don't have your information, he uses these to pray over everyone. We would really appreciate that. You could either give it to me, or Kelly's back there standing in the back. Either one of us will take this. Also, in the seat pocket in front of you is just a little more information about our church, if you just want to know a little bit more about it, or you can always ask us questions, too. But a little bit about, see, it says you belong here, so we're really happy to have you. Also want to encourage you guys, the fall semester of small groups has started, but it's not too late to join. So if you want to get involved, you can still get involved. There's a listing in the back of all the small groups, and we would love to have you be a part of that. All right?
All right.
All right, thank you.
a couple more things in addition to those. Don't forget, tonight at 6 o'clock, as you hang out, 5th to 12th graders, be right here at 6 o'clock. We'll have a little food for them. And we have a guest actually coming tonight, actually two guests, a husband and wife. She is with Athletes in Action. She's coming just to share an encouraging word to the young people. She played tennis at the University of Iowa. Her husband wrestled at the University of Iowa. So they're coming just to encourage the young people tonight. So 6 o'clock tonight, you hang out. So I encourage your 5th to 12th grader to be here and bring a friend. Also, this coming Friday is our night of bowling at the Southwest Bowl. Remember, it's a free night of bowling. All you got to do is pay for any food you want when you're there. We're paying the lane fee and also the shoe fee. So if you want to be involved in that, please put the sign-up sheet back there. Sign your name up. It's kind of broken down by lanes. If you don't know where to put yourself, just throw yourself in there. We'll get it together when we get there. We're just kind of hoping maybe we can get there and get the name in before you get there, but we'll figure it out at that night. So sign up back there if you want to be there this Friday at bowling. It's always a good time. And with that then, the men's gathering that we have on September 21st, we signed a sheet for that, back up for that. In the month of August, we challenged the guys 31 days in the book of Proverbs, remember that. So we're gonna get together on the 21st at 9 a.m. that morning, just talk about it. And you're reading in the book of Proverbs. And if you didn't do it, come anyway, it's okay. But sign up's important because we'll make a little breakfast for everybody that's coming. So that's September 21st, 9 a.m. right here. And also, if you signed up to be a part of the Hoopla Parade on the 28th of this month, right when our vision casting meeting's done today, we're going to just talk a couple minutes about that. So if you sign up to help make the float, or you sign up to be involved in the parade, and you stay for the meeting, stay after that, and we'll give you some more direction on what's happening with that. And then having said that, one more thing, Brooke Jackson and her family have been coming to our church, and their son, Evan, is looking for a donor who's suffering from chronic kidney disease. Now, certainly we're praying for him, but in the meantime, if you are interested in information about that, I have a card that you can have, and there's a QR code to get more information on that. Or you can see Brooke herself, and Brooke, wave your hand around. She's right there in the purple shirt. So, and we're certainly praying for Evan, but we're going to jump into the processes, too, of what he's involved in. So if that interests you, please see Brooke. All right. You got your Bibles. Let's bring them out. I hope you bring your Bible to church on Sunday. If not, we do put the verses on the screen for you. But I love when you bring your Bible to church. We are in the book of Acts. Now, Kelly, there's a slide on Church on Mission. If you'll throw that out as people get their Bibles out. Remember, this month, we're in the book of Acts, and there's a reading to go along with it, and the reading simply is the book of Acts. So, we're on our second week today, so if you're following along, you've read chapters 1 through 14 in the book of Acts. I encourage you by next Sunday to read 15 through 21, and then following to finish out the book of Acts. The reason I'm asking you to do this is because simply, well, to give you something to read your Bible, but along with that, because what I'm teaching on is out of the chapters leading up to today, which you read this past week. But I'm not going to be able to fill in all the details. There's a lot of action and a lot of things happening in the book of Acts. We're just going to highlight some things. But if you want to keep in on this, by next Sunday, read up chapter 21, because I'll be teaching next Sunday out of chapters 15 through 21. So having said that, Church on Mission, that's what I desire our church to be. Now here's the thing. I am glad that we meet together like we are this morning. And we should. The church is good for you. I'm glad you're part of a small group if you're doing that. If you're not a part of one, I encourage you to get a part of one. Small groups are good. They're important too. I'm glad we meet that way. I'm glad that some of you get together outside of church. You break bread together. Amen.
Amen.
But the sole purpose of the church is not just to gather together. The church comes together so we can be equipped together, to grow together, to bear one another's burdens, to help each other in this thing called the Christian life. But then once we disperse from gathering together, we are literally supposed to be on mission. I want our church to be on mission. Now, I know when we think of mission, some of you immediately think of overseas. You think of a trip to Africa, or you think of a trip to South America, or even across the border to Mexico. Who knows, maybe Canada too, I don't know. Mission, Jesus said when he was ready to empower the church in Acts chapter 2, he said to be the witness, where first? In Jerusalem. Where were they? Jerusalem. You start in your town, your neighborhood. That's where mission starts. Then he said Judea and Samaria. Now we're into the region. Now we're going out a little bit. Then he said into all the world. Okay, so that includes where we go. But mission starts right where you are. Everywhere where you walk, wherever your feet go. How many of y'all have one of those things that counts your steps? Anybody do that? I don't. I'm not sure it would be good or bad. I'm not sure. Everywhere where my feet go, I have a purpose.
Amen.
Some people say, what's my purpose in life? I'll give you one today. You're called to be on mission. To what? To be a light in the world. That's simple. See, the mission is to be a part of what God is up to. What is God doing? God is actively rescuing and reclaiming his lost creation. That's what he's up to. That's what he's been doing. Our mission is to be a part of it. What I want our church to do is not only be equipped together, but what I want is that our church to be on being on what God is doing. Not our own ideas, our own plans, our own business, but what is God speaking? What's he saying? How's he directing? That's what I want to do. I want to be on mission with that. But here's the thing. Kelly, that first slide, we'll throw it up. I threw this up last week, but let me just throw it again today. A church is on mission when the people are living life on mission. We can say, hey, I want to be a church on mission. That's great. But it doesn't actually happen until the individual people do something. A church is simply the culmination of what the people do. I want to be a church on mission, but the challenge is, or the idea is, are you on mission? To be a light wherever your feet go. Wait, your home, by the way, yeah. If you have a job, your workplace. If you're a teenager and you're in public school, you're public school. When you go to a family gathering, fair. See, I'm getting it. Wherever your feet go, we're called to be on the purpose of being a light and taking the gospel where we go. Now, that being on mission has a very specific message. So as we're going through the book of Acts, you'll see the message of the mission kind of articulated in some different ways, but it's all doing the same thing. So I want to highlight a couple things today about the message of the mission. So if you go to Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. Acts 10 and verse 34. Now again, I'm not going to read the whole story. Hopefully you're reading along and fill in the background of what we're getting at today. But here we find Peter in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. The Bible says that he was a centurion in the Italian regiment. Cornelius being a Gentile and Peter being a Jewish man. For that Jewish man to be in the house of a Gentile and eat food with them would have made him unclean. In other words, in the law of cleanliness, he should not have been there. But through a series of visions and in obedience, Peter and Cornelius meet up. Peter and his companions end up in Cornelius' house. And watch what Peter said while he's in this house of the Gentile. Watch the message he gives here. Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, and he is Lord of all, you yourselves know that what happened through all Judea, beginning from Galilee and the baptism that John the Baptist proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. But they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on a third day, made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who he had chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You see that? That's the message. Here's the big hint of the message. The message is Jesus. Amen. He is the gospel. He is the good news. So proclaiming the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And I want you to know that it's important to see verse 43 where it says, the prophets bear witness to this. There's something that you find in the book of Acts that kind of keeps coming up. And it really, I guess you would say, they're trying to make sure that people understand that Jesus is the fulfillment. I think being so distant from those times and the Jewish law and the Jewish expectation, we kind of don't talk about this too much. But one of the focuses we find in the message that goes forth is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophets.
Yes.
And all that came before him, it comes to this pointed ahead in Jesus. In other words, you can take your Old Testament, this isn't a Bible, but if you want to cut your Bible up, you'll have New Testament here, Old Testament here. Everything you see here, all the wonderful stories you see here, get to Jesus. The point of that entire thing is really to get to Jesus. The Old Testament leans towards him.
Amen.
The avenue to him. And they wanted them to know, to be sure. And even Peter's talking to a Gentile man here, so he may not even know what the prophets had said. Jewish prophets that spoke to the Jewish people. But the point still is, listen, you've got to understand that he is the fulfillment of all things. All things heading towards our salvation.
There's a lot of prophecy.
Amen.
And in that, I'll talk to you afterwards. We'll catch up later, okay? In that we see history really kind of dovetailing to the moment of the birth of Jesus. The greatest moment of human history is simply what goes to the cross. We think the history gets better because technology advances and life seems to get easier. The greatest moments of human history for us are Jesus and the cross and his resurrection.
Amen.
And all things before him bear witness to his coming. That's important to the message that's being brought forth in the book of Acts. And in that, because it's so great, is the forgiveness of our sins found in him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at something Paul said in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Acts 13, 38, Paul. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is free from everything which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what you said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish. For I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. You see that? Paul, the way he's talking about it, is that in Jesus, this message that is proclaimed, we find a forgiveness of sins, and in that, our justification. This is the message of the book of Acts. That is the message of a church on mission. It is Jesus. He is the fulfillment. It is Jesus. In Him we find the forgiveness of our sin. In Jesus, know that there is judgment coming. There's the message. So wherever our feet take us, we have an opportunity to share this gospel message. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's a wonderful message of freedom. But what? Sin. Freedom what? What the enemy impresses us in. Freedom to abundant and new life. This is the message that we bear. This is what we're called to be in life in the world for. A church on mission gathers together to be equipped together, to grow together, to learn together, to help one another, then we disperse with this message. And it's really kind of simple to me. It's not hard. I think we make it harder than it is, harder than it needs to be. That we learn, as Peter would write, to share the reason for the hope that we have. And you know where my hope is? Oh, listen to me. All of my hope is in Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, I pray for certain outcomes of things in this life. Amen. But my hope is in the resurrection of the dead. My hope is in the life to come. There is my hope. And it's the message that we share. The message we take. Now, look at back to Acts 10 and verse 44. Acts 10, 44. Now, we read this earlier, and this is kind of a point that's really ho-hum to a lot of us again because we're distant from this time. This is a big deal right here. It says, while Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter, Jews, were amazed. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. My goodness, who would have thought? For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, can anyone withhold water for baptizing from these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked him to remain for some days. This is a big point. Again, I think it's ho-hum to us because we're so distant from it. Listen, it's in the book of Acts we really find that this idea that salvation is not just for the Jewish people.
Praise God.
It is for all who would believe. Amen. And you see, the prophets were alluding to this the entire time, but it wasn't really bringing home the point. And the Jews thought they were delivered to come, this Messiah, and their idea of deliverance was to throw off Roman rule and kind of go back to the days of Solomon and King David. But no. Salvation is for all who would believe, even for the dirty Gentiles, of which I am a proud member. That God would even pour out the Spirit on those outside of the ethnicity of the Jewish people. This is the Savior for all of the world. And by the way, they had to really start to deal with this. One of the big themes of Paul's writing was, hey, you Jewish believers and you Gentile believers have to learn how to get along. Find it in the book of Acts, Galatians. You've got to learn how to get along. With different customs, different ways of going about things. You have to get along. The big picture theme of Paul. And what we'll see in Acts chapter 15, they literally start to deal with this. Do the new Gentile believers have to follow the customs of the law of the law of Moses? And there's a big fight about it. And it comes down, thank goodness, no. We don't have to follow all of that. Amen. But the message of Jesus, the good news that he is Savior of the world, it's for everybody.
Amen.
That means wherever you go, where your feet go, it is for the people that you encounter there. Listen, no matter their skin color,
amen.
No matter the language that they speak,
amen.
No matter the kind of culture or customs they live by, The message of Jesus is for them.
Amen.
Amen. And that is huge news at this time. This is groundbreaking stuff that's going on here in the book of Acts. But it's for everybody who would believe. Aren't you thankful?
Yes.
That we gather here today in Urbana, Ohio, America being a melting pot of ethnicity and background, all the immigrants that have come to our nation and made us who we are, the message is for us.
Amen.
That we can be saved in the fullness of the gospel. Amen. So it's a message for all people. So the message is Jesus is the fulfillment. He is the one that brings the forgiveness of our sins, and it is for everybody. But I want to get back to you for a moment. So that's kind of the message, but let's get back to you for a second. Acts chapter 14. At verse 8, let's jump in on Paul and Barnabas here for a second. Again, read back the backstory a little bit here. Acts 14 and verse 8. Now at Lystra, there was a man who was sitting who could not use his feet. And he was crippled from birth and had never walked. And he listened to Paul speaking. And Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began walking. An amazing miracle. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice and sang in Lyconian, "The gods have come down in the likeness of men. Barnabas they called Zeus and Paul Hermes, and because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out in the crowd crying, 'Men, why are you doing these things?'" Watch this. "We are also our men of like nature with you." Or in other words, we're just like you. "But we bring the good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." You see that? Paul and Barnabas were out doing the mission work in the city, speaking. Seeing a crippled man, Paul sensed he had the faith to be made. Well, he just cried, "Stand up and walk," and a guy jumps up and starts walking. And of course, we live in the post-enlightenment where if you can't prove it, you shouldn't believe it. But back in this time, everybody believed in some sort of God. The people there specifically were worshippers of Zeus and the Greek pantheon, right? They immediately were like, "This is Zeus and Hermes in flesh. Let's sacrifice to them." And Paul and Barnabas were like, whoa, time out. Listen, we are people, ordinary people, just like you. We bring you this good news so you can turn from these vain things and worship the living God instead of the stuff you're worshiping. Kelly, I want you to put the second slide up for me. This is kind of a point I want to bring home to you about the mission. The mission happens, listen, through ordinary people. I want you to catch that. Because I don't know about you, I'm rather ordinary. So when I go to the store, if I ever go shopping for clothes, by the way, I never pay full price for clothes. We go to places like TJ Maxx, Marshalls, every once in a while, okay? I am 110% average size. Medium, 32, 10 and a half shoes. That's like across the board average size. I am an ordinary person. I'm not 6'8", where I have to get special clothes, order, size 15 shoes. That's not me. I'm ordinary. There's nothing just out of the ordinary that I have personality-wise, skill-wise. I mean, Al and I cobbled, Al, by the way, Al did a great job. We cobbled together that little media booth back there. It's nice, but you're not going to sell that thing on eBay for more than 15 bucks. Nothing super special about it. You look at it, oh, they didn't even caulk the nail hole. My goodness. Well, they didn't even paint the inside yet. You see what I'm saying? There's nothing extraordinary about me, but listen to me. With the Holy Spirit, extraordinary things can happen.
Amen.
And what I want you to understand is some of you sell yourself short with the mission. No, I understand. Paul, yes, Paul was called, he was gifted, fivefold ministry gifted as an apostle. Yes, there are certain things that come with it. I get it. Yes, there are spiritual giftings. Yes, there are callings and anointings. I get all that stuff. Yes, you have those things. Amen.
Amen.
But just in a general way, I want you to understand, people just like me and you are called to the mission.
Yes.
We're called. I think sometimes you sell yourself short because you don't think you're like that person, or you don't have that gifting, or you don't have that understanding, or you don't have that personality, or whatever the I don't have thing is. You're called.
Yes.
And remember in Acts 2, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit fell. And remember we said, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, the mission will fail. Because the mission that is from Him, empowered by Him, and is for Him. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need.
Amen.
Because it's Him anyway. Did Paul heal that man? No, God did.
That's right.
Paul was the man through whom it worked.
Amen.
He was just open to the moment. He just had that catapult to say, okay, I feel that, I'm going to pray. Get up and walk. He just had that in that moment. And God did something miraculous.
Right.
See, if you believe God can do anything, you're fit for the mission.
Amen.
That's faith. It's trust. It's belief. That turns into action. That's faith. That I believe that God can use little ordinary me and everything ordinary in life to be on mission with Him. If I'll just be aware and turn, be purposeful. Now, let me throw something else in here. Some of you feel like your life is in way too much chaos to be on mission. Amen. I get it. I understand. And yes, you may have to be in season or two of green pastures and still waters, and that's your focus. 100%. 100%. Yes, you may need time of healing and restoration and working on some stuff. Yes, I get it. But, let me throw a disclaimer there. But, if you're waiting for your life to be perfect to be on mission, it's not going to happen. If you're waiting for everything to line up and you work everything out, and once I get all this done, then I will go be a light, you're never going to get there. It just turns into an excuse for not doing it. And I think some of the best things we can do in seasons where we are being put back together in certain ways by God is still share the message. And you encourage yourself. See? In other words, don't sell yourself short. That it's just the called people, or what we would, the anointed people, or the gifted people. No, no, no. Remember, however God made you, He made you purposely. Therefore, He knew this business when He made you. So therefore, whatever you are, He can use you in that. And the mission isn't just for the people that get to spend time on stage, platform.
That's right.
Amen.
This is not really the mission that way anyways. You see? It is everybody that you consider yourself ordinary. It's you. If you'll just simply be open to what God can do. And if we find, you found it in chapters 1 through 70. Last week we find it in chapters 8 through 14. And there was pushback. There's going to be pushback. There are going to be levels of persecution. It's part of the mission. You find it all the way through the book of Acts. It didn't stop. but we would be open to be used by God in what he's up to. That's the church on mission. That is the church on mission. And you know what a church on mission has to do? In and of itself, the gathering of people have to grow in the maturity, because when a church is on mission, then people will start coming into the gathering and need disciples. They need some people to lean on, people to look to, people to grab a hold of. Because they don't know much. They know Jesus, amen, but they got to grow.
Praise God.
They're going to bring all sorts of mess in here. Bring it on. Amen. I told you this before, but when I was a youth pastor years and years ago, the youth staff, the volunteer staff that helped me, we started praying a prayer. It was a dangerous prayer. Then God started answering this prayer, and they were like, why are you praying this? You ever do that? We prayed, we started praying and fasting, God, we want you to send us all the kids that nobody else wants. And they start showing up. And some of these, not all, but there's a segment of these kids, the reason why nobody else wanted them, because they were just some kids, man. Their attitudes and their nastiness, you know, and how they treated people and the issues of their life, they started coming to church. I had kids. You can see, I'd be preaching, and back in that day, when the youth group was 24/7, we would have a couple hundred teenagers in a room. And we literally had a youth church, its own worship and everything, while the adults had a service, we had a youth service. And I started noticing that during services, certain kids would pop up about halfway through, and they'd leave for about 10 minutes, they'd come back, and finally I was just like, hey, you can see those kids are doing it. And found out some of them were going outside to get their smoke in. They get back, they come back, they had to have their cigarette, they go and they come back. I was just like, okay, send me all the kids who do that. And here's what we're going to do. And you know, this made people mad. But I was interested in those kids coming to church. I said, hey, we're going to work to stop this stuff, right? But how about this? We had a back door, a red door. And this way went into the church, that way went outside. I said, 5 minutes before the service, I want to see every single one of you outside smoking your cigarette. So when service starts, just stop leaving. Get in here and sit down. They go do that. People go, why do they kick me? Because I want them to come. They're bringing their mess to the church. Mm-hmm. And they're getting saved.
Yes.
Starting to get delivered.
Amen.
Starting to get set free.
Praise God.
You can't expect people to act like the church when they come to the church.
That's right.
You see, I'm getting it. A church on mission, there will be people that show up to church that you're going to be like, oh boy. Who can disciple that person? Who can spend the perfect time? You know what I'm saying? But you know, somebody did that sort of thing with me. They kicked me away to the curb. I think some of you did, you had the same thing happen for you. Right? That we as a church are willing to have people come that have issues because the answer is Jesus.
Amen.
And if we say Jesus is with us, why wouldn't we want them to hear? But the church needs to be mature. Strong, ready, able. Amen?
Yes.
I want a church on mission. We've been, but I want to get more on mission. Because I think it's the calling that God has for us. Can you imagine if all the churches in Urbana were on mission together? Mm-hmm. Holy smokes. I know some of these guys in town, some good guys pastoring some of these churches. I believe God's going to do some stuff. But it's going to take people getting out there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have a baby dedication this morning. We'll get to that in just a couple of moments. That's how we'll close out our service. But I want you for a moment to think about you. And I want you to think for a moment if you feel that you are not qualified for the mission. Think about that. And if you feel no, what's your reasoning? What's your reasoning? If it's sin, I want you to take it to the Lord. I want you to ask for forgiveness. And I want you to make it your Goliath that you're going to go out in the field and we're going to take care of it. And you're going to grow.
Yeah.
You bind the work of the enemy, and we're going to grow. Amen?
Amen.
But if there's anything outside of sin, I'm going to say probably not an excuse. Do you realize one of the best things you can do in life is sometimes get over yourself?
Amen.
You hold yourself back more than anything else, Rock. To get over yourself. Simply do with the moment. It could be as simple as Paul. He noticed a man that, and he just for some reason drew that he had faith to heal him. That can happen in Walmart. It can happen at a gas station. It can happen at your workplace. Then you just in moments, you come across people. Maybe it's a friend you've had for a long time. You've never, they know you're a Christian, but you've never shared your faith. You share your faith with that person. Everybody can do those sort of things. If you're willing. That's church on mission. Don't just look for things that we consider to be fireworks. The boom, bang, wow. Listen to me, I'm telling you, it is the smallest moments of life where God does the most amazing things. Bring it down to that level. And God, you'll be amazed what God will do through you. I believe that. Everybody close your eyes. Is there anybody here, by the way, that you've never given your life to Jesus? You've never asked for the forgiveness of your sin. You've never committed yourself to Him. Is anybody here? You can raise your hand real quick. Let me see. If not, we'll move on. But anybody? Everybody here who's saved, you're working out your salvation, your heart is not far from God, right? Lord, I pray that we are a church on mission. Living among the called. Ambassadors, as we are called in this world. That this new creation we've been made, we take it out. We don't keep things to ourselves. But I pray, Lord, each one of us realizes it's in the simple, everyday things of life in which we do this. We don't make it too hard. There's nobody in the room that disqualifies themselves. But because we have you, anything's possible. So I pray, Lord, you start to use us. That we have eyes to see opportunities and moments where you speak to our hearts, where the unction of the Holy Spirit draws us into these moments. That we're paying attention. We know the still voice, the small voice of the Holy Spirit enough to respond and obey and simply do something. And Lord, I thank you for that. That you are saving this world. And I thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of it. Use us, Lord Jesus, in all things. Use us in Jesus' name. We all say,
Amen.
Amen. Well, if you've got to bring Miss Sienna up, we're gonna dedicate her to the Lord this morning. I mean, y'all love the babies. Did you know that by the end of this year, we will have 4 brand new babies in our church, too? I love growing them by the people getting saved, but I love growing them by just the newness of the babies, too.
Yes.
Now, some of y'all... Some of y'all, the arrows are falling out of the quiver, man, but it's good. Gotta buy a bigger quiver. I love it. I love when I tell people about a church, I say, you gotta meet some of these people. We got families of like 10 people. No. In the immediate family, they got like 7, 8, 9 kids. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Craziest thing I've ever seen. I love it. Yes. Now you can face me. Hey, Grandma, Grandpa, come on down. Colin, you can come too, man.
Yeah.
If you guys didn't know, this is Joe's parents. They've been attending for a long time now, and we never made that connection.
Love you.
But you guys would just face us. Ooh, it looks so pretty. Wow. I am not going to hold her because she'll probably cry. We don't want that to happen. We'll do it just like this. Let me just read this real quick. It says, this is a happy and significant occasion because just like Mary and Hannah of old, you brought your child to the house of the Lord to present her to the Lord. And the young life which is in your arms right here, the mystery and it's a wonder, God has placed in your hearts a new and compelling message of the dignity of life and the obligation of parenthood. We believe in the sanctity of life.
Amen.
That God makes us, he knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb.
Yes.
That this is the design of God right here. Amen.
Amen.
We believe in the sanctity of this life. And the scriptures bear witness to this. As we see Hannah brought Samuel, dedicated him to the service of the temple. Mary, mother of Jesus, brought Jesus, according to the law of Moses, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And we are confident of the divine approval of this child brought here today to be dedicated to God and his service. Now, as a congregation, to charge you in this, it is our duty to receive this child into the care of the church and be part of the ministry and the welfare of this child. Whenever we baptize somebody, it is a witness to the church that we are to help them.
Yes.
It's the same as dedicating a baby unto the Lord. But also as parents and even grandparents, as the scriptures say in Proverbs 22, we train a child up in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Amen. Mm-hmm. We believe a God-designed purpose for this child's life, and to live it out fully, and simply a life that is dedicated in all aspects unto God. Amen. So, Miss Sienna, we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe that every day of your life that God will be present because you're aware that he is there. And we pray as you grow older, purposes and giftings and callings will become apparent. And we bind any work of the enemy that we have towards her all the days of her life. And that we live in the calling of God and the fullness of abundant life until Jesus returns again. Amen?
Amen.
So if you all would stand and join me in prayer this morning. Lord, we dedicate Sienna to you. That this is a young lady who would live all of her days in you. That in the moments that she understands fully, she will enter the fullness of salvation in her heart, baptism and dedication unto the Lord and the witness to the church. And we believe in all of her days, Lord, that she will be a light for you in all that she does. I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful young lady, Lord, that she will live according to you. Wisdom, understanding, times that she faces things in life that she knows to hold on to you and never let go. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. And we all say,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. It is 11:12. Let's take a 5-minute break. Then for the vision part, come back. And how many of y'all are going to stay for that? Just wonder who stayed. Okay, come on back and just sit in here. I'll pull a stool out. That'll take just 30 minutes, I promise. 30 minutes, okay? Then we'll just finish. So have a wonderful